This week's parsha is Yisro, and last year on this week's parsha, we talked about Yisro himself and about his journey, joining the Jewish people, and what ultimately happened to Yisro. I want to go a little bit further into the parsha this week and talk about the other major part of the parsha, which of course is a Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. This past Sunday, my wife participated in the Nach Yomi Asiyah. My wife completed 2 years of studying the entire Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And so they had a live stream, a Asiyah that took place in New York. And my wife, anyone could tune in anywhere from around the world. And one of the presenters was this woman, Michal Horowitz, who was a presenter who I think introduced the opening Sefer of Yehoshua and then the concluding Sefer of Divrei Hayamim. And in any event, she spoke at this event, and she invoked a Rashi in this week's Parsha, which says the following. Rashi is comments on the opening conversation that Hashem has with Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the beginning of Revi, of the first of the fourth Aliyah. We're told it was the third month, Bachodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, so it's the month of Sivan. And they come to Midbar Sinai. They've traveled from Rephidim, and they come again to Midbar Sinai. Lots of discussions, not for now, why it sort of repeats itself right here. In any event, Vayachanu Bamidbar, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Neged Ahar, the Jewish people encamp in front of the mountain. There's a famous Rashi here that they encamped Ishachad, Belev Echad. They encamped they were unified, they were together, they were joining as one people. Moshe Allah Elokim, and Moshe then ascends the mountain. He goes up to God. Vayikrei lav Hashem min ahar lemor, and God calls out from him from the mountain. Kos amar lebeis Yaakov v'sagid livnei Yisrael. So you shall say to the house of Yaakov v'sagid and tell and share libnei Yisrael to bnei Yisrael. So Rashi here comments on this unusual expression. The Jewish people are referred to both as Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael. All right, do we know that? You know, Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, and we're called the Bnei Yisrael, but here also they're called the Beis Yaakov. Right? Say to the Beis Yaakov, V'sagei livnei Yisrael. So this is what this Mrs. Horowitz, she quoted Rashi. This is very apropos for the women and their completing the learning of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Rashi says the following: the Beis Yaakov Elu Hanashim. These are the women. Right? Beis Yaakov. Right? You go to yeshiva. The girls go to Beis Yaakov. These are the women. So the conversation was first that Moshe should say something to the women, and then Visagei Levnei Yisrael, and then have a conversation with the Bnei Yisrael. Who are the Bnei Yisrael? So Rashi says Zacharim. These are the men. These are the men. So Mrs. Horowitz quoted Rabbi Zev Leff, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who suggested that that for a successful Jewish home, it has to start with the women. That the women are the ones who are going to encourage the men. They're going to keep the men straight, keep the men focused. That the women have to be saturated with emunah, with faith, with conviction, with focus, with understanding. And they will be the ones to encourage the men, to encourage the husbands, to encourage their children to follow the Torah, to engage in the Torah, to study the Torah, to live by the Torah. That was a very nice message, you know, to the women, you know, who are completing their study about not only as a personal study for them, but now the impact that they can have on their families and what they can do to encourage the further observance of Torah and the commitment to Yiddishkeit, based upon what they themselves just achieved. And then this seems to be, according to Rashi, the proper pattern. It's always the women who set the tone within the house. So I'm going to go from there and continue reading the psukim. It's interesting that I saw the Netziv as well as the Malbim have a little different take on, or very different take on these psukim. They suggest, and their reading of these next few psukim, is that the difference between Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael is going to be different types of Jews, which we'll get back to in a second. But let me first continue the reading. So again, this is God telling Moshe to relate this to the Jewish people. Remember, you saw, it wasn't that long ago, you saw what I did to Egypt. And I carried you out on the wings of eagles. Kanfei Nisharim. There's a very beautiful Rashi here. Rashi says, why does God specifically invoke the imagery of the Nisharim, of the eagles, and not any other bird? And he says the difference is that all other birds, they're always concerned about the other predators, other birds that fly higher than them, and they harm them. And therefore, they carry their young with their feet that underneath them. However, the eagle flies the highest, and therefore the eagle's only concern is from man that's down below that might shoot an arrow. So the eagle carries its young on top of it, on its back. And so that's the imagery of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, last week's parsha, when the Jews were caught in between the Yamsuf and the Egyptians. So when the Egyptians were shooting their arrows towards the Jews, God placed his cloud, his glory in between, and he took the brunt of the arrows to protect the Jewish people. So that's the imagery of God carrying the Jewish people, Kinesharim, like the wings of eagles. Okay, so God says this, V'avieschem elein, I brought you to me. Now, here is going to be the fundamental notion of what the Jewish people is all about. Why did God take us out of Egypt? What was the point of all of this? Did he just feel bad for us, that we were afflicted people, we were being persecuted, and he wanted to take us out and rescue us from that terrible situation, which would be enough. If that was it, that God just to say, God forbid, someone's in a burning house and you pull them out of the burning house, you save them. You save them and you wish them your best and you go on your way. Someone's in a car accident, you pull them out of the burning car. Okay, you save them and then you go on. But Hashem's going to say, no, it's a lot more. I didn't just take you out to save you from persecution and pain and suffering. Certainly, that was part of it. But rather, the following. I took you out to bring you a lie to me. V'avieschem elein, I brought you to me. V'ata now, im shamo tishmu bekoli, if you will listen to my voice, u'shmartem es brisi, and you'll guard my covenant. So what's going to be the benefit for doing this? V'isam li segula mikol amim. You'll be more treasured than all other nations, ki li kol haaretz, for the entire earth is mine. And the Mefarshim here explain that God says, I could have chosen any nation, ki li kol haaretz, right? The entire earth is mine. All creation, all nations, all peoples. And yet, I'm making you as my segula. You are my treasure. I am selecting you. That's like someone who goes into a store and they can buy anything. And they decide, this is the one thing I'm picking. This is the one thing that I'm choosing. This is what I want. So Hashem says, I've chosen you. I've chosen you for what? In what sense are you my treasure? So now the next pasuk is the key. And there's a very famous pasuk, "Vatem tiuli, you will be for me mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh." You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Elo advar mashir tzmei Yisrael. This is what you should tell the Jewish people. So this is it. This is everything, right? This is the deal, right? The Jewish people have been, they're free. They're taken out of Egypt. But now, what's their future going to be? Are they just going to be like any other nation? God will now say goodbye and good luck. Wish you the best. You got a fresh start. Hope you do a good job. Or am I giving you an opportunity for something unique, for something special, for something extraordinary? And so Hashem is saying that, yes, I'm giving you now an option. Right, I've chosen you for some sacred task. So what I want to do now is just look at a few Mefarshim, how do they understand what exactly was God offering the Jewish people? Yeah, it's a strange expression, Mamlechas Kohanim, a kingdom of priests. So, the most basic, obvious question is, so we know amongst the Jewish people, there are Kohanim, right? But we're not all Kohanim. There's only some of us are Kohanim. Some of us are Levium, right? And most of us are Yisraelim. So what does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? We're not all Kohanim. And there's a famous case in the Shulchan Aruch. What do you do if you have a city that's all Kohanim? What do you do in terms of giving out the aliyahs, you know, things like that? But if you have one Levi and everyone else is a Kohen, so, okay, that's an interesting, you know, scenario that's discussed in Halacha, but practically we're not all Kohanim. So what does it mean that we're Mamlechas Kohanim? And what does it mean that we're a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation? So Rashi, we'll start off with Rashi. Rashi says, Mamlechas Kohanim Sarim. Right, so Rashi says that what it means that you're going to be a Kohanim is that you are going to be ministers, right? You're going to be a Sarim. So ministers is usually in charge of someone else. So Rashi is alluding to the fact that the Jewish people are going to have some unique responsibilities vis-a-vis all other nations, right? That the Jewish people are going to be unique and different from all other nations on some more exalted level. Rashi doesn't really explain more what exactly that means, but it's a start, right? That the Jewish people have some special role that is being presented to us. I saw the Ramban. Ramban also comments on this. On this expression that you should be Mamlechas Kohanim B'goy Kadosh. And he says the following, look at the exact words of the Ramban. And this is all in the fourth Aliyah, is where this conversation takes place, and Moshe is supposed to then share with the Jewish people. So here, the Ramban says the following. Mamlechas Kohanim. V'hayu v'tiyu mamlechas misharsai. That you shall be a kingdom of my attendants. You somehow are going to be assisting me. You're going to be working for me. The goy kadosh l'davka b'kel kadosh. And you're going to cling to me. Right? You're going to have this unique opportunity to have this special relationship with me. Right, you're going to be my misharti, my attendants, and you're going to cling to me. Now, this could mean either that you have some responsibility towards the larger world, or it means that you have a unique opportunity to connect to me. Those through the Torah that I'm about to give you and the mitzvos that I'm going to ask you to observe. So there's going to be this special relationship that only you are going to have with me, as opposed to anyone else. You have this unique opportunity to be more connected to me than anyone else. So, you know, there's two ways of looking at this. Again, either that the Jews are going to be working for Hashem vis-a-vis everyone else, or that, no, we ignore everyone else, all the other nations, and just you, the Jewish people, have this opportunity more than anyone else to have a unique and special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, there's a Rabbeinu Bachai who goes a totally different take in all this. And he says, Kohanim is referring to this world. You're going to have a special relationship with me in this world. Goy Kadosh is talking about the next world. Whatever, you know, the reward of the next world, you're going to have this special reward uniquely for the Jewish people in the next world as well. The Netziv and the Malbim have a very different take in all this. I'm going to get to Rav Hirsch, which I want to focus on, the major focus. But before I get to Rav Hirsch, the Netziv and the Malbim, they understand that these are two categories of the Jewish people. The Mamlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, is a reference that that not all Jews are the same, and they start back to where I began with the Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael. That the Beis Yaakov are the majority of the Jewish people, right? The majority of the Jewish people who will have a basic relationship with Hashem. They'll be given the Torah to do the mitzvos, and that's one level. But then there's those other unique and individuals who will themselves grow in their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will be above and beyond their other Jews. And however exactly you understand this, whether it means in terms of their Torah learning, in terms of their dvekus, their connection to Hashem, their spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they will be this Goy Kadosh. And they perhaps will be an example to the other Jewish people. But not all of us will be the same. And in fact, the Netziv very interestingly explains, there's one thing that's always very confusing, that, you know, we know famously, what do the Jewish people say at Har Sinai? They said, Na'aseh v'nishma, right? We will do we will listen. The problem is that the pasuk a few psukim earlier says, just Na'aseh, we will do. A lot of unfortunately struggle. You know, do they say Nasa? They say Nasa Vinishma. And so the Netziv very powerfully says the Nasa was the majority of the people. You know, we'll do. Okay, God, we'll do whatever you tell, whatever you say, boss, we'll do. But the people who are more exalted and more connected to Hashem, not only said that we'll do, but Nishma will try to understand. Right? We'll try to develop a relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We won't just go through the motions. But we're going to work to develop a connection, and this insight of both in the Tziv and the Malbim is it's very relevant, because you know many times you do see Jews who just go through the motions, you know, sort of like a checkbox. Okay, I put on tefillin this morning, all the Shabbos candles, I kept kosher, you know, I do what I got to do as a Jew. And you're a good Jew. You do what you're supposed to do. But then there's Jews who try to go above and beyond that, and to try to develop a relationship with Hashem, to feel Hashem as a part of their life, to feel God's closeness and His warmth surrounding them, and to create a unique connection to Him. And that's not easy. That takes a lot of work. That takes nishma, takes understanding. And so, you know, at the very least, we're all given this opportunity of Nasa, of base Yaakov, of just doing the basics, but we're supposed to strive for the nishma, for the understanding, and for the development and the connection and the dvekus with Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then there's one other approach I want to share with you. And I mentioned this first. And a couple of years ago in our shul, Menachem Liebtag came, and he also embellished on this idea. But I'll quote Refersh, because Refersh came before Menachem Liebtag, and perhaps Menachem Liebtag got it from Refersh. He says the following. You know, what do we think about when we hear the word Kohanim? So when we hear the word Kohanim, you know, we think about the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, you would go to the Beis HaMikdash, most of the Jewish people, and you would bring a karban, and it would be the Kohen who would assist you, right? The Kohen would help you out. The Kohen would show you where to go, where to shach the animal. Then the Kohen would be the one to sprinkle the blood and to place the limbs on the Mizbeach to burn. And, you know, the Kohen would help you if you had to do smicha, if you had to lean your hands on the animal. And he would give you the parts that if it was a carbon for you to take home, the Kohen would be the one to help you, to assist you in your avoda and your service in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what a Kohen is, right? A Kohen is not everyone's a Kohen, right? You got to be born a Kohen. Only certain people are Kohanim. And then a Kadosh. So the word Kadosh, right? Holy is referred to many different things as holy, right? We refer to the Jewish people. We're going to be a Goy Kadosh. Shabbos Kodesh, right? Shabbos is Kadosh. Shemitah, right? Is Kadosh is holy. You have what else is Kadosh? Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. Right, there's certain things that we described as holy, and what anything that's described as holy is always something that is taken from something greater than it, from something larger than it. In other words, Shabbos is Kodesh. Shabbos is holy. Shabbos is taken from the days of the week. There's 7 days of the week. Ostensibly, they're all the same. Right? They all have 24 hours. They all have a sunrise and a sunset, a daylight and nighttime. They're all the same. What's the difference? And yet Shabbos was taken from the other 6 days and made unique, made special. The land of Israel. Right? What's different about the land of Israel than America, than France, than China? They're all lands. They all have grass, they all have rocks, and they all have rivers. I mean, they're all the same. Right? What's the difference? And yet Israel was separated from the other ones. A Kohen. What's the difference between a Kohen and Yisrael and a Levi? They're all the same. They're all human beings. They're all Jews. What's the difference? Right? And yet, right, it was taken from all the others. Shemitah, how is Shemitah different than the other year? Right, they're all 365 days, 354 days. They're all the same. They all have different seasons. And yet Shemitah was separated. So I'll read Refersh's words. He says the following. He says, you are to become a Mamlachas Kohanim and Goy Kadosh. Mamlachas Kohanim, each and every individual of you is to become a Kohen. Each of you are supposed to become a Kohen. What does that mean? We're not all Kohanim. Right? Only a few of us are Kohanim. So what does it mean we're all supposed to be Kohanim? In so much as he is to allow all his actions to be regulated by me, to take the Ol Malchus Shamayim faithfully on his shoulders and become a true Kohen by his word and example, spreads the knowledge of God and loyalty to him. What is every Jew supposed to do? Every Jew is supposed to set an example to everyone else. But just like the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash are supposed to be the role models for the rest of the Jewish people. Right, the Kohanim, right? Originally, there weren't rabbis. Right? There's no such thing as a rabbi in the Torah. Who were the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people? They were the Kohanim. And we often think of the Kohanim, you know, as those are the guys, you know, who where all the blood was, who, you know, slaughtered the animals, who put, you know, the limbs on the altar. So that was part of their job. But the other part of their job was they were the spiritual advisors of the Jewish people. Right? They were the ones that when you had questions, you were supposed to go to the Kohanim Alevim. You go to the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, it says in Devarim, you go to the place I chose, and you go to the Kohanim, and you have questions, you'll ask them, and they will guide you. I've given a shiur in the past about the parsha of the Sota. Right? I've always understood that when this couple's having this marital strife, and there's accusations flying, so why, so they go to the Beis HaMikdash and she drinks the water, but why are they going to the Kohen in that situation? So I always assume that because what's happening is that hopefully she drinks the water and hopefully nothing happened. She didn't really, hopefully didn't commit adultery, but clearly there's something going not healthy in this marriage, that this couple is obviously having lots of issues. She's been with some other man and the husband is jealous and there's miscommunications and like, it's like not good stuff is happening in that marriage. So presumably you would think that after she drinks the water, you know what happened? The Kohen would then sit the couple down and he would, you know, say, what's going on? And he would be, you know, he would try to help them out. Right? He would try to advise them. He'd try to guide them. He would try to, you know, assist them to do some therapy, to try to, you know, work them through this difficult situation that they were in. So a Kohen, right, the role of a Kohen was to guide the Jewish people, to advise the Jewish people, to teach and to model for the Jewish people. And so says Hashem, on some level, each one of us are supposed to be a Kohen. We're a Mamlechas Kohanim, we're a kingdom of priests. Each one of us are supposed to set an example for who? An example for each and every one of us, for our fellow brothers and sisters. That each one of us should be a role model. And when you walk, I say this in shul, when you walk into shul on Shabbos some morning, you're not only going there for yourself and for your own, you know, personal opportunity to pray to Hashem, but you're going to be a role model to everyone else around you, to the children who are there, to the grand or the great-grandchildren, right? And they'll see, you know, are you talking in shul or are you davening in shul? You give tzedakah, you don't give tzedakah when there's an appeal. You know, it's like, you know, everyone is looking at you. You have the opportunity to teach everyone and to guide other people. You can be a role model to the countless, you know, numbers of people, whoever come into your orbits. And that's what Hashem wanted us to do. He wanted each Jew to serve in that capacity. But each Jew would be a kohen in that regard. Would be a mamlachas kohanim, right? Would be a nation, and this I think is very powerful, where there's just not, you know, there's not just one person who leads the congregation. That person is holy. That person is special. But all of us are special. I always say about Judaism, one of the unique things about Judaism is that there's no difference between the rabbi and everyone else in the congregation, right? All the people, everyone is supposed to do the same mitzvos, learn the same Torah, you know, daven, and there's no difference. Right? It's like the rabbi can't do anything. The rabbi's not there that Shabbos, the service still continues. Because like, anyone, you know, should be able to give a dvar Torah. Anyone should be able to, you know, to get up and to daven. Right? There's no difference. We're all the same. Right? It's very unique about Judaism. Right? There is a kohen. Right? The real kohen. There's certain things that certain job responsibilities. The base of Mikdash. You need someone to do something, you know. Even the shul, so you have a rabbi. See, you need someone, you know, to create the calendar, right? You need someone to have the job to, you know, to turn the lights on or something. You know, so someone's got to do it. But when it comes to religious, you know, matters, when it comes to, you know, ultimately service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're all the same. We're all mamlachas kohanim. So that's number one, and we all need to be a role model and set an example for each other. That's the notion of Mamlachas Kohanim. What's the notion of Goy Kadosh? Goy Kadosh says in the Tziv, and this now comes back to what Rabbi Liebtag was saying about how you take, you know, Shabbos is taken from the other days of the week, and the Jewish people are taken from the other people, and Eretz Yisrael is taken from the other lands of the earth. He says, Goy Kadosh. He says, just as individually you are to appear priest-like, so is the impression which Israel as a nation is to make on the world, to be one of holiness to God. You are to be a unique nation amongst the nations, a nation which does not exist for its own fame, its own greatness, its own glory, but the foundation and glorification of the kingdom of God on earth. A nation which is not to seek its greatness in power and might, but an absolute rule of the divine law, the Torah. So just like we as individual Jews are supposed to set an example for one another, the Jewish people as a whole, we're supposed to set an example for the rest of the world. That's the Goy Kadosh, right? We are taken out from the other nations in order for us to then be a positive influence back on the rest of the people, right? Just like Shabbos is taken out from the other days of the week, and Shabbos should reignite our commitment to Hashem so that when Shabbos is over, we'll then go back into the work week with renewed vigor and purpose and a sense of mission. So, and just like the land of Israel is taken, you know, out from the other, you know, lands, and hopefully the land of Israel will be an example for all other nations, all our countries. So that's the Jewish people, right? The role of the Jewish people is not to be better. It's not to be more powerful. It's not for our glory, but it's for us to representing Hashem. This is what Hashem was offering the Jewish people. I took you out. I rescued you. You were in danger. I heard your cries. Okay, you're free. But now I'm giving you an offer. I want you to be a segula, a treasure. And what's the treasure? It's not gold and silver and diamonds, but it's rather this unique opportunity that I'm providing to you. And you, what's the deal? The deal is you got to keep my bris. You have to keep my covenant, as the pasuk says, right? That you Shema Tishmu Bekoli, listen to my voice. Shmartim es brisi. And if you do that, then I'm going to give you this special gift from all the nations. I'm selecting you. You're the other one. And what are you going to be? You're going to be an example to each other. You're going to mlechas konim, but you're also going to be a guy kadosh. Right, that you need to set an example for all other nations of the world. You need to create a nation state that's going to be based upon everything that the Torah is now going to delineate, based upon base of ethics and values and honesty and integrity. Everything that's going to say, all the things of the Ten Commandments that I'm about to say, a notion of a belief in one God, an idea of recognition that we don't kill and we don't steal and we're not jealous and all these things, you're going to create that model society in the land of Israel. And then ultimately, people are going to come and they're going to learn from you. Right. And, they often explain that, like maybe the one time in Jewish history where we perhaps achieved this was in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when the Jews were at peace. We had a Beis HaMikdash. And then you have that story through the Malkus Sheva, the Queen of Sheba coming and she wants to learn from Shlomo. Right. So we have to create that model state of, what it means to be a godly people and to set an example for the nations of the earth. And the reward is that we have this then relationship with Hashem, that we're God's partner. Coming back to what Rashi was saying, we're the Sarim, we're God's officers, right? We're doing God's work, God's bidding. That we're His servants. We're acting for on behalf of Him, on behalf of the entire world, to set that example. And so this was the offer that was given to the Jewish people. And it could be like the Netziv and the Malbim say that some people do it better than others, right? Not everyone is necessarily going to be the best at it, and there's going to be different levels of Jews, but we're all supposed to aspire and try our best, to be that Goy Kadosh and to set that example. And not only to be a Nasa that will do, but Nishma will understand what it's all about. We'll appreciate it. We'll find value in the Torah and in our Judaism. We'll be proud of it. We'll be excited. We'll want to develop that relationship, and we'll then act in ways that will reflect what it is to be a godlike people, and the nations of the world and people of the world will see us and will learn from us, and will they themselves will adapt, and they will internalize, and they themselves will begin to act in ways that reflect how Hashem wants all humanity to be and to act here in this world. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.